Amen. I thought he was about to get right in here. Amen. I tell you what, that's something else. Amen. That's all right. It sure is good to see y'all this morning. I tell you what a blessing. What a blessing it is to be together and just really enjoying the singing and thinking about just how precious the Lord really is to us. I think about this often, about how amazing it is that He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows what's going to happen, and nothing takes Him by surprise. And for us, it's different. We're usually kind of looking into the future, looking ahead, looking at things and wondering what the future is going to hold, things like that. And then when the Lord gives us time to reflect and look back, that's when I think we can see a lot of amazing things that He's done in our lives. And that's, to be honest with you, kind of where I've been all week. When it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday, it's like, what in the world do you preach on there? About how good of a pastor you are, how good, you can't do that, And then it's like, well, you can go to Timothy and preach on the attributes of what a preacher is supposed to be like. And I heard a fellow open up one time and he said, I was going to preach or it's going to open up with these verses, but he said they kind of stepped on my toes, so I had to choose something else. And so I'm like, my goodness, it's one of those things. And brother Uriah, I feel kind of like you this morning. I just want to do this and just sit down. I'm with you, brother. I told him, I said, that's a scary looking group back there, ain't he? He kind of shook his head, It's like, I get it. Sometimes it feels like that, but this morning, really, I don't even know if you'd even, there'll be a message in it. I don't know how much preaching it'll be necessarily, but there'll be a message in it. But this morning, simply the title is From My Heart, From My Heart. If you want to turn to Romans chapter number 10, let's turn there this morning. That's some very special scripture to me. I know you've heard me preach on it here, maybe a little bit different way. But when I think about this time of year, it was September 6, 2010, when I surrendered to preach, and as after, I say that's when I surrendered, but, it was after a time of, I guess, self-reflection, things like that. So by the time I get into fall, that's usually where my mind is each year. It's where my heart goes and reflect on those things. And just to think 15 years have passed, that really blows my mind. Time does go by quickly, and in my heart, I really believe that time would have, it was at an end. I believe the Lord was coming back so quick. He made it so real in my heart that it was time to act. And it's just amazing how the Lord, how He deals with us. I told CFC on Thursday night, maybe mentioned it here before, but told CFC Thursday night that I've learned how the Lord deals with me. And I think we all need to learn that in our lives. First and foremost, if you're lost, you need to be saved. I know it goes without saying, but it needs to be said. If you're here this morning, specifically talking to you out of love, if you're here this morning and you're lost and you know it, the Lord's dealing with your heart, and I can already tell you that. Once you get to the place that you know that you're lost, the Lord is dealing with you because He's the one telling you that you're lost. That's the only way. It's the only way you'd ever know that. We can think about things logically, but spiritually, He's the one that does the convicting, and He's the one that brings that. I thought about it like this too, just sitting there. Sometimes you have missionaries come and they present their burden. They present their burden for the mission that they have, the work that they have, and I tell you, I kind of feel led to do that this morning. The church here at Mount Lebanon, you're the mission. I want you to know that. It's amazing. I was saying, I know how the Lord has dealt with me in my life, and it's a powerful thing. It's a humbling thing. It can be an unnerving kind of thing. When I was lost, He dealt with me in such a way that I knew it was Him, and I couldn't mistake it. Thank God for it. If you're lost, He's dealing with you a certain way. It might be something you never felt before, and you probably never directly will, because that's how He deals with you. He wants you to know He's dealing with you in a special way. He's telling you, you need to do something. You need to do something. And the first time I ever felt that in my life, it was a conviction over being lost. And He showed me that I was lost. And it was one of those things that I couldn't get past. And I'm glad I couldn't. I didn't want to get past it. He doesn't want you to get past that. And after accepting him, you know, thank the Lord, that was a relief. I had some peace about that and knowing that he saved me and being able to stand on eternal salvation. Praise God for that. If you know that you know, you've got something to be thankful for. Amen. And if you don't know, you really need to know. You need to know that. And time passed, and he dealt with me about preaching. I guess it was a few years later. He kind of dealt with me on and off in different times of my life, but I guess he allows things to happen to teach us in such a way that when it comes time to knowing that you can know. I don't really recall a time that I've doubted my salvation. I might have checked up a few times, but I know some people have struggled with that, but I don't really recall a time that I struggled with that, but when he started dealing with me about the surrender to preach, it was so real to me that that's where my mind went back to, because that's the only other time in my life that I'd felt like that. I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me? Are you telling me that somehow I missed it and somehow that I'm lost and I just don't understand that? And immediately, every time I would even say the prayer, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. It's like, Jason, you know that's not what this is about. You know that's not what this is about. And ironically enough, God does everything very, very methodically. He has his ways, and we don't necessarily see it looking forward, but sometimes, again, looking back, we can see it. And then talking to Brandy about it, she said she was kind of doubting her salvation. We were talking through some things there, and I wanted to be affirmative with her. I wanted to give her something. It's like, Brandy, this is all you have to do. You know, the plan of salvation in the gospel is very simple. Very simple. It's by his grace, through our faith, we accept what he did for us on the cross. And I was reading that to Brandy here in chapter 10 of Romans. I said, all you have to do, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And I would kind of go there and I'd read that and we would talk about it. And thank the Lord she received help from it. But I remember continuing on and reading. And that's when the Lord lit my heart. He said, Jason, this is what you need to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. This is what I'm telling you to do. And he made it real in my heart. And I, by faith, I remember, I can take you right back where I was standing when I surrendered to preach and said, Lord, take it. You know, it was so similar to the day I got saved. So similar. When you start allowing yourself to step away from you, your wishes, your wants, and turn it over to God, it's a powerful thing. It's a relieving thing. A lot of times people can't get to that place. So, preacher, I thought you said you felt this or been through this three times. I did. I have. And I've mentioned this here before, and I know we have new folks here. And again, this is a part of my testimony, but I think it's important to share it with you. And, you know, when I went to Pastor Three Forks, I didn't have any intentions of ever leaving. It's not one of those things that you make plans of saying, I'm going to do this for this amount of time, and then I'm going to do this and roadmap things out. That was never like that. It wasn't like that in my heart. But the Lord started doing a work in my heart, and I want to say this. That is a special group of people. The people at Three Forks. This isn't anything negative that way. I love those people. Those people are very, very, very good to me and still are to this day. So it's not like that. I want you to know that. But at the same time, it's amazing when the Lord starts turning in your life and you're like, here it is again. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? What do you want? You know, and sometimes if you're not careful, you'll start looking to people. You start looking at people. You say, oh, well, I wonder, maybe I can get some advice from somebody. Maybe somebody can tell me what I need to do. You know how many times I wanted my pastor to tell me the Lord's calling you to preach, surrender to preach? Not one time did he tell me that. Not one time. See, there's some things that come directly from God, straight from him. You know, when he's dealing with you about you being lost, that's coming straight from him to you. It's a personal thing. When he dealt with me about surrendering to preach, it was very direct and very lovingly, very patiently, but that's how he dealt with me, and only he could tell me, only he could guide me. And you know, when it come time to follow him again, I think back to Abraham, I think back to those in the Bible that just, when the Lord told them, get up, we're going somewhere, you're just going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. And you know, that's when I look back and I think back when the Lord sent me and my family back here to Mount Lebanon, I didn't know how that was going to work out. I see it now. I see some things now up to this point, but I didn't know how that was going to work out. You see, what you got to realize is when I stepped away from Three Forks, I had no guarantee, no promise what was going to happen here. I didn't know. And I dare say you didn't know either. You think back to it. Say, preacher, you're going all through memory lane. I am. I'm reflecting. You look back on what the Lord has done and what he's doing. It humbles me. It's amazing to me to see the things that he's done. I tell you, 15 years ago, if you told me that things were going to work out like this, I never would have believed it. Never would have believed it. And I want to say this. I'll get to this in a minute, talking about having a vision. It's important to have a vision. Say, preacher, what's your vision for the church? You know, I've thought about that a lot. I've prayed about that a whole lot. And my vision is simply just to stay faithful to the Lord. The reason I say that, Brother Tim, I don't know what all he has for us. If his ways far exceed our ways and his thoughts far exceed our thoughts, then how in the world could we put him in a box? How could we do that? You know, I look back over things too and thank the Lord for being able to take part in CFC. I didn't know that was going to take place. There's a lot of different things I had no idea that was going to take place. And just the blessing of being able to focus on the church full time. That's been a dream of mine. That's been a prayer of mine for years. The Lord answered that prayer this year. He's answered so many prayers. And you go from just praying for things and thinking about things, and then it just makes you feel so much smaller seeing how big he is and what he can do. And it just amazes me. But I remember the night. I remember when I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do about going to Mount Lebanon? What do you want me to do? This was before any vote, anything like that had taken place. He said, you just stay faithful. You just follow me. You just follow me. Lord, what if they don't vote me in? You stay faithful. Amen. There's a point in time, church, I'm just being honest. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know. I had no guarantees of anything. Nobody can guarantee anything in the future. But I tell you what, if you step out on faith with the Lord, he's got you. He'll take care of you. He'll take you where he wants you to go. He'll take you there. And I just want to say, praise the Lord that I'm here. This is where I want to be. This is where my heart's at. Me and Brandy, we've talked so many times about things. And it's just very surreal in a lot of ways to us, but I just thank God that we're here and that we're able to work together here. And I tell you, I want you to know I'm committed to you. I want you to know this isn't one of those lovey feel good messages because you feel like you have to. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. This is my heart this morning. Because I think about mission work. We have a lot of missionaries that come through, and I think about CFC, the different mission works that we do. I think about radio ministry. I think about a lot of different things, but I think about what the Lord has laid on my heart. And this church is what he's laid on my heart. There's a very special thing that takes place. I know there are preachers, but there's a difference in a preacher and a pastor. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. You know, I put a lot of thought into that. And you know, you want to help people. You want to do things for people. But being one person, I'm limited. There's only so much outreach one person can do. And I know with the help of the Lord, that can be far-reaching and exceed what we ask or think. And I realize that. But if you really get down to it, I've had people, I think the Lord's leading you this way. I think the Lord's leading you this way. Well, I'm like, well, he didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me. I'll wait for him to tell me instead of somebody else tell me. But I tell you, when he told me in my heart this is what he wanted me to do, then that's when I can focus on one thing, being the pastor here at this church and focusing on you. And I tell you, it's a blessed thing. But again, let me get to the message. I'll try to hurry. I just want to give you my heart this morning, because these verses here, have become a staple in my life. When I think of Romans chapter number 10, I think about a life-changing experience in my life. It takes you from salvation all the way through to my calling. And I tell you, I appreciate that. You look at verses 1 through 4, and you see Paul's heart here. Paul's talking about his brethren. You know, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but what he was talking about here is the burden that he had for his own people. And I remember working in law enforcement, and I probably mentioned this before, but I remember one of the first cases I worked at the sheriff's office, and it was a murder, it was a shooting. This fella had gotten killed, and I tell you, it was on Christmas Day, no less, and we went out there that night, and we did that, and sheriff told me, I want you to go to the autopsy, and the very next day I was there, and it was just a whole lot of emotion going on, a whole lot of growing up going on. And, you know, it's the first time I'd seen somebody deceased outside of a casket like that. And it left a mark on my life, the finality of things, the seriousness of things. And I remember, no doubt, the thing about it is, too, this was a fellow I went to school with and I knew. And all I could think about, church, is I wonder if he was saved or not. And I was like, you know, I never witnessed to him that I could remember. But it was very real to me in seeing that. And I was like, somebody's got to reach people while they're still alive. It's amazing what God will use in your life to direct you where he wants you to go. When I see here Paul, these first four verses, he's just laying his heart out. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, his people, is that they might be saved. He had a burden for them to accept the Lord. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now you look at those verses, and he had a burden for his people. But see, they were locked up in the law. They wanted to stay with the law. You couldn't move them off of that. To try to preach them Christ crucified, they would not listen to that. They tried to hold on to something that they couldn't really fulfill, that they couldn't do. They tried to hold on to that. But he had a zeal. It said here, they had a zeal. For I bear them record. He said, I can tell you this. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They want to know him. They want to have a relationship. They want to be right, but they don't have the right knowledge. They don't know what they're talking about. He tried to bear record with them. He tried to explain it to them. He wanted them to know exactly what to do. They wanted to go somewhere. They wanted to go with God, but they were not sure how to get there. And I find that very interesting. But if you look at verse number 3, you see the answer and the problem that they had. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, not understanding his goodness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know how real that is today? I want you to think about that. There's a lot of people, I really believe, that take a little from this belief, a little from this belief, and they try to make that their righteousness. This is what I believe. This is what's palatable to me. This is what's reasonable to me. This is what makes me feel good. This is what eases my conscience when I do these things. If I fulfill these things each day, maybe let's say if I wake up in the morning and I read a few verses and maybe say a prayer and have a time of devotion and maybe listen to some Christian music on the way to work, then you know what? I have religion. Amen. That's about what you got. If that's all that it is, that's what you got. And you see, they went about to establish things their own way. They actually thought they could fulfill the law and that would be their way of salvation. And Paul's saying it's not going to work. It's not going to work that way. You have to know who Jesus Christ is. And not just begin to know who he is, understand the difference between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but know who Jesus did and what he did for you on the cross. You have to know that. That's the power. That's the power of everything that we do, is once you get to that place, understanding that and knowing that. But here's the problem. What it says here, it says God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves. They hadn't surrendered themselves to the gospel. See, a lot of people know the gospel. I could probably talk to everyone in here, lost or saved, and say, what is the gospel? And you could probably go and tell me verses what it is. But you know what? Not everybody in this room has believed that yet. Did you know that? Hadn't submitted to it yet? I'm just being honest with you. That's what being saved is. It's not the act of following through and doing these things or doing those things. It's simply, have you put your faith and have you submitted in Jesus Christ? Have you done that or not? That's how you get saved. That's the simplicity that's in Christ. He's done that. And you see, Paul, he's looking at his brethren. He's saying, I want them to have this. I want them to know this. But their problem is they're trying to figure out another way. They're trying to do what's comfortable to them. They're setting their ways and what's comfortable to them. And he goes on to explain verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The law is still there. But when you believe on Jesus Christ, he says, I will take your part. I've already taken your part. You just believe on me and my righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. The Romans also tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's no good. But Jesus' righteousness is perfect. That's what the Bible teaches us here. You look at verses 5 through 7. It says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. He's saying, if you're going to go by the law, then you cannot break any one of them. And guess what? Nobody's ever done that except for one, Jesus Christ. And if you think you can do it today, you've already broken it. You've already not fulfilled that. Verse number 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. You see, he's talking about the righteousness of faith. Us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. He's saying all these things, you can't go any other way. Trying to figure some of those things out. He's saying just by faith, you put your trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 8, you look verses 8 through 13, there's a lot that's discussed right here. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Aren't you glad that the gospel is close to you this morning? Even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You look at the gospel, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, let's don't look at the law. Let's look at the gospel. Let's talk about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why he did that. And you think about him coming. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Getting ready to go into the Christmas season. I always look forward to that and recounting that. And you think about how he came to this earth to be perfect for you and me. To be that sacrifice for you and me. I tell you, if you're here this morning, you've already accepted this. This shout will bring. Amen. Amen. I never get tired of revisiting the day I got saved. Never, never. A lot of times I need to do that and recount that, and sometimes I need to remind the devil of that. It's a good thing to do. But again, remembering what the gospel is, that's what's close to us, his sinless, perfect life. Him going to the cross to die for our sins, knowing that we could not fulfill the law, but he could. That's why he did it. When the Lord is dealing with your heart, the Holy Spirit is convicting you, if you're lost, and I'm just going to be honest with you, your heart's about to jump out of your chest, the Lord's telling you something. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. Don't trust yourself because you can't get there on your own. You can't get there. If you set out to go to heaven today, where would you go? Now you have to go your way. If you're going to go your way, how would you get to heaven this morning? Give me directions. How do you get there? Tell you what, the only way you can get there is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's no other way there. The Bible teaches us that plainly in so many different ways. You cannot get there on your own. There's no way that you can get there without the blood of Jesus Christ placed on your life. But you know, he went to the cross. He lived that perfect life. 33 and a half years, never sinned, lived perfectly with one goal in mind, to die on a cross. And that's something. To die for something he didn't do. Completely innocent. Completely innocent. But he saw every single one of us. He saw all of us. He said, those people that I love, they need a Savior. And I'm going to do it for them. Now here's the thing. This is the hinge. It's up to you to believe it or not. It's up to you. See, that's not up to your mom and dad. See, just like I was saying a minute ago, your mom and dad can't say, hey, go get saved. Your grandpa, grandma, hey, go get saved. That's between you and the Lord yourself. And if your heart's about to jump out of your chest and he's saying, come, come, the best thing you can do is listen to him and go, I never regretted the day I got saved. Hey, anybody here saved? Anybody regret being saved? Would you do it again? Amen. Amen. Don't have to, praise the Lord, but I would if I had to. Don't have to do it again. But I tell you what, the only thing I'd change is I'd have done it sooner. I'd have done it sooner. The Lord's convicted you. Honestly, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on this morning? But what he's saying here, you think about, well, what do I need to do, preacher? If he's really dealing with me that way, what do I need to do? Verse number 9 here, you look at verse 9, 10 through 13, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's very straightforward and simple. You believe. You believe. All this preaching, teaching that you may have heard throughout your life, Sunday school, maybe something you've read at home, maybe devotion time that you've had at home with your parents, grandparents, talking to you, witnessing to you, all these things, when you start thinking about it in your mind, then what happens? The Holy Spirit starts letting it fall into your heart. You start thinking about it. You start thinking about it. Guess what? That's when it's time for you to move. That's when it's time for you to do something. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a promise. If you go in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not going to turn you away. There has never been a person that I've heard give testimony say, you know what, I went to the Lord and I asked him to save me and he didn't. I've never heard one person say that. They said, you know what the Bible says? He'll in no wise cast you out. Hey, that's what he's waiting on. That's what he wants. It's not his will that any should perish. But every single man, woman, and child that's ever born come to the saving grace and knowledge, come to repentance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's saying what you've got to do, it's an inner work. It's what takes place in your heart. It's what you have to believe in your heart. You know, I had head knowledge a long time before I had a heart knowledge. And that's a stumbling block to some degree for people. I've had people ask me, well, why do you think that there's people who make a profession at a young age and then later on in life actually accept Christ? Because I believe that there was pressure that I believe they had head knowledge and wanted to do the right thing, but they didn't yet have heart knowledge. But you have to have heart knowledge. You have to believe with all your heart. You see, the power is not just what you know, it's who you believe in. It's the power to believe. See, God gives that to us. When you look at the Bible and you look at what it says about believing, it talks about believing a whole lot in the Bible. And it's a very simple thing. Either you believe in it or you don't. You believe in it or you don't. I'll make a little analogy here. People talk about Christmas, all that stuff, and Santa Claus, all this kind of thing. You know, there's a saying that goes around, if you don't believe, you don't receive. Oh, I believe. I believe. I want the presents, right? But I tell you how important it is that you realize what I'm telling you this morning, if you believe in it, Jesus says that's how you become saved. That's how he saves you. Just want to make it simple. Keep it simple for you this morning. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That means being made right. It doesn't mean that you try to fulfill a law or do works or things, but what it's saying here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, God makes him right because he believed on the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once you get saved, tell somebody. That's what being a witness is. Having the courage, having the desire to see somebody else saved. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's powerful. Sometimes it's pride, but I think sometimes being bashful is what holds people back sometimes about things. I don't, what will people think? I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about what people think. I've talked about this a lot. I've contemplated on this a lot because people have talked to me about it. Being a preacher, pastor, I think about things. What does the congregation think? Well, you know, this is what the Lord gave me. Jason, if you're putting your faith in me, you're trusting in me, with a pure heart, you're following me, what does it matter? What does it matter? Because here's the thing. I've learned this. You can't make everybody happy. Can't. But I want to make Jesus happy. I want to make God happy. And if he's happy, I can be happy. I can have peace. I can have peace with God. Now, I'm not saying I don't care about you. I care about you this morning. But I tell you, everybody, there's as many preferences and opinions in here this morning as there are people. But the Lord is the one I'm concerned about. He's saying you'll not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. There's not a different way to be saved. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, that's good. That's good. That's good teaching. That's good preaching. It's simple. It's simple to follow. Now, you get to the place here, can somebody just be saved without hearing the gospel? Absolutely not. I remember, listening back and I had it saved on my iTunes list or what have you, and my ordination service popped up. I got to hear my ordination service. Brother Remington, that was humble to hear. It's just a few days ago, got to hear that again, and I tell you, man, it brought all that back. But one of the questions is can somebody be saved without hearing the gospel? No, you can't. Who's doing the saving, and what are you being saved from if you haven't heard the gospel? You have to hear the gospel. You have to hear it. So you see this here. Look at verse number 14 through 17. There's an order to what the Lord has here. It says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on somebody if they've never heard the story? They've never heard the story. How are they going to call on somebody? I heard somebody say this one time. It'd probably surprise you. Heard somebody say, I believe there'll be people in heaven that's never called upon the name of Jesus. And I was like, you're wrong. And I've got the Bible to back it up right here. You would be amazed who said that. You'd be amazed. Famous evangelist, you'd be amazed. But I tell you what it says right here. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Pretty strong, isn't it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I tell you, that's an important calling. When I look back over life and remember how the Lord was dealing with me on things and working with me, I could really understand the seriousness of it. There is nothing more serious than being able to tell somebody what it means to have eternal life and how to get there. You know, the Lord didn't make that a light thing. Most people that I've talked to, most men I've talked to who have surrendered to preach, it wasn't a light thing. It was a very serious thing when the Lord dealt with them about preaching. And who's going to tell them? I remember that's exactly how I felt. Who's going to tell them? If I don't tell them, who's going to tell them? It's amazing how the Lord deals with you. And he puts it there. There's an order to things, the way God does things. And there's a leadership of the under-shepherd. Did you know that? Did you know that when the Lord deals with somebody, deals with a man, I say somebody with a man, amen, deals with a man about surrendering to preach, he's dealing with him about a position of leadership. Did you know that? Did you know that being a preacher isn't a hired position? Do you know that? I know that. It's a calling. It's not an occupation. I want you to know that. You know what gets me? You know what? I'm just going to be honest. You know what gets me? I've had this happen. I've been preaching for 15 years, pastoring for most of that. But I've had people say, you know what? This church is now accepting resumes for pastor. I was like, what? Do what? I'm like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. What do you mean? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He's the one doing the call. What do you mean put in a resume? Amen. I want you to know something. This ain't a position of being hired. It's a position of being called. There's a great difference. There's a great difference. And I want you to know the preacher does not work for himself. The preacher works for the Lord if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I want you to know that. By tax purposes, that they say self-employed, but I say, no, I'm employed by God. There's a difference. There's a difference, and I want you to know that. But there's a great difference in being a preacher and a pastor. And I tell you, I say this. I remember when I was first called to preach, Brother Remington, and maybe you can identify with this. I remember what it was like just to love people. It's just like, man, I love everybody. Just want to help everybody. Just want to be there for everybody. And it's kind of the way the Lord laid it on my heart. If somebody had a need, I wanted to pray with them, be there for them, try to help them, what have you. But what made it really special is when the Lord started working in my heart and said, what if you just had one congregation to focus on? Their need. What they need. I could never explain to you how precious it is. I could never explain it to you. How hard it is sometimes when you have somebody pass away and you're going to do their funeral and try to be there for the family and offer up words and the hard things that happen in life, but try to be there for them. And then get the blessing. Somebody say, hey, granddaughter's getting married. Daughter's getting married. Would you come do the wedding? Amen. I'll even go to the beach, Sister Alice. Amen. I'll even go to Virginia. Amen. I get to travel as a pastor, I'll tell you that. So there's a blessing in that. It's indescribable to do that, but you know what even tops that? When you have a child come up, say, I want to be saved, and get to lead them to the Lord, have a little child reach up to you and say, hey, can I tell you a secret? Yeah, and you reach down, I love that you're my pastor. Talk about melting the heart. See, again, I want to tell you, that's not the job of a hireling. That's a calling of God. The importance of it, I want you to know there's a difference in being a preacher and being a pastor. I want to say this. This is something you really need to take note of because I've seen it, talked to a lot of people. You know, there's some churches that want a preacher, but they don't want a pastor. Think about that. There's sometimes it's like, hey, you just come in, you do the preaching, you do the funerals, you do the weddings, we'll take care of the rest. That's not being a pastor. That's not what being a pastor is. You know, pastor's input's important. Did you know that in a church? Would you agree with that, that a pastor's input's important? You think about praying over things. The Bible does say without a vision, the people perish. You think about, Lord, what do you want for our church? Lord, what do you want for us to do? You know, sometimes people might, I'll put it on me, think I'm passive about things or what have you. I'm waiting to see what the Lord's going to do because the Lord said, whosoever waits on the Lord shall not be ashamed. Some things, you got to wait and see what direction he's taking things. You know what? I can miss it. I can get it wrong. But the Bible teaches us if you wait on him, he'll make the path plain. He'll lead us where he wants us to be. There are times maybe some people want to jump and move on some things, and maybe some situations call for that. But I tell you what, sometimes things got to work themselves out, and you got to let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. Sometimes that takes patience. Amen. Think about our personal lives. How much patience does it take in our personal lives? Same thing with the church. Things take patience. And again, it's saying here, then how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what it's all about. Well, I tell you, the call, I cannot underestimate what it's like to be called. The calling, how the Lord deals with us in our hearts and how he deals with things. And I'm not over embellishing anything, but I want you to know it's a serious calling. And I take it very serious this morning. And one other verse I want to read to you, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 12. I thought this is interesting how Paul said this. I'm getting ready to close this morning. 1 Timothy 1:12, and the Lord really laid this on my heart years ago, but I thought about it this morning, putting some things together, and it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry." Anybody reading that with me? That's not what it says, is it? I want to tell you, I ain't worthy. No man is worthy. I want you to know that. You think about the office of preacher, pastor, no man is worthy. But I look at this again, let's read it the right way. And it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me," given him the help that he needed, enabled him. It's God who does that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who does that. "For he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, that's a big word. We talk about faithfulness a lot. That's a big word. And I don't say I stumble at that, but I stop at that and I read that. How could Paul say that? Paul was writing this to Timothy, an older preacher talking to a younger preacher, giving him some advice. And he's saying here, and I don't know exactly at what age, have to look back and see maybe at what age Paul was at and what placement he was in his life. But I tell you, the thing about faithfulness is not measured in a short span of time. It absolutely takes a lifetime to measure faithfulness, or it's not truly being faithful. I was trying to look at things. You know, there was a point in time in my life I was faithful to going to the gym. That's something I just probably wouldn't miss. I tried not to miss it. I'd go do that. Worked in law enforcement, 4 days on, 4 days off. On my days off, I'd go. I didn't want to miss it. Even times I didn't really feel like it, I could say I was faithful. I went. I was there. I was faithful. I don't know the last time I've been in a gym. Is it preacher? I can tell. No, I just want to tell you, it's been a while. So could I honestly say I've been faithful? I can say I was faithful for a period of time. Paul's saying here that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And I think about that. I'm like, Lord, okay. I see what you're saying up to this point, and I feel like I've tried to be faithful up to this point, but what happens tomorrow? What happens the next day? What happens the next day? Think a lot about that. And I tell you, the reason I mention that is your faithfulness, my faithfulness is measured the same way. It's going to be the entirety of our lifetimes. It's yet to be seen. It's yet to be seen. You know, you hear a lot, preachers this, preachers that, getting out of the ministry, this and that, for this kind of reason, that kind of reason. I tell you, you have to be a thick-skinned person to do this. You do. I tell you, I'm not, you know, saying it's an easy thing. It's the most blessed thing I've ever got the privilege to be able to do in my life, but it's not easy. It's not easy. You get to the place where you realize it's like, well, hey, you know what? I've prayed about this. The Lord has settled this in my heart. This is the way that it has to be based on what God is telling me. But so-and-so's not going to be happy about it. I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. And you get in this day and time, people's like, well, I just don't want to do what the preacher wants to do. The preacher wants to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. How do you rectify that? How do you rectify that? I tell you, when you look at how serious this is, putting these things together, it absolutely, and Brother Tim teaches on this a whole lot and spoke on it a whole lot, it takes unity. It takes trust. It takes patience. It takes willingness to work through it. It takes people willing to work together to see what God wants for them, regardless of what they want. That's powerful. You want to see the Lord do something amazing with the church? Watch the deacons get behind the pastor. The church get behind the deacons and the pastor. They work together. They pray. I'm telling you,
That's a powerful thing.
I tell you, it's important that we realize that and understand that. If we want to be in God's will and do what He wants us to do, that's the way it has to be in any church, any single church. That's the difference of being and having a preacher and having a pastor. It's a difference. I've seen it, talked to a lot of people, experienced a lot of things in life. But again, he's saying here, and how shall they preach except they be sent? The sending of the Lord, how he sends and calls a man to preach and sends him out to a congregation or to a mission field to do the work. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You go on. I'm going to hurry this morning, go ahead and close out. But I tell you what happened there with the calling of Isaiah. It was like a fiery coal. He had a burning heart. He wanted to do the will of the Lord. The Lord said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me. He said, send me. And then the Lord said, but they're not going to listen to you. Now, how long? How long? As long as there's people, you keep staying faithful and do what I've called you to do. That's what the Lord commanded Isaiah. I tell you, it's a powerful thing when you look at it that way. And you go that way. I'm going to stop right there this morning. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come. I could keep going. I'm going to stop. If you will, stand with me this morning. We're going to have time of invitation. Father, we come to you this morning, God, just so thankful for your word. Lord, what it means to us. God, how it can help us if we apply it in our lives. And God, I just thank you so much for it. Lord, I thank you for our church. Thank you for the body I get to serve with, Lord. And just what this congregation means to me, Lord. I just thank you so much for them. And I pray for them, God, that you help them and whatever their need is today, God, I pray that you take care of that for them. Help them with that, whether it be physical, spiritual, whatever that need is this morning. God, I pray that you move and you help them and whatever that is. And Lord, those that are lost this morning, God, I pray that you touch them, help them, God, to see their need, convict their hearts, and help them to see their need of being saved and what it means, Lord, to have a Savior, how precious that is.